January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back and welcome in. No Joel Blank. He's taking the week off. No Jerome Solomon. He misplaced his Trapper Keeper. Didn't know he was supposed to be here today. My name is Mike Leibschock. I'll be with you until 4, along with my co-host, Barry Laminack. We work together on Sunday mornings, Houston game day,
That's
9
right.
to 12. We've only been doing it for about 4 years now.
Yeah, it's the best kept secret. It's also the least talked about show. It's also
completely awesome.
The one everyone ignores.
Except the listeners.
No. We have a solid core of about 7 people.
I am amazed when someone tunes in and's like, oh, I didn't know Barry got a Sunday show, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Well, we've only been doing it for 4 years.
So how was yesterday, by the way? I took the day.
Yeah.
And came in and did the Easter Spectacular.
Yeah, you did the stupid family thing.
Yeah.
Which is blech, gross. Blech.
Yeah.
We did good. I felt like Nick and I held it down while you were out.
Did you?
We had some fun and some shenanigans, and we just got through it.
Okay.
We just got through it.
3 hours.
I don't know. I'm a bad judge. I can never tell what's a good show and what's a bad show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's always so difficult for me doing radio. Like, in comedy, I know when I have a good show and I have a bad show because people either laugh or they don't.
Or they leave.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened to you where someone just, and I'm not even talking about someone in the outlying sections. I mean, when you're doing a show and there's someone like at the front.
I don't know that I've ever walked anyone like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people leave after my set.
Well, they came for you, obviously.
No, but sometimes they're just being courteous.
Like mid-set, they don't.
I don't know that I've ever really walked anyone like that, which it is a horrible thing to have happen, where people are just like, this guy sucks, and they just get up and leave in the middle of your set. I can't recall anyone that stood out to me. I'm sure it's happened, but maybe I just, it didn't traumatize me enough to be like, oh my God, I walked half the crowd.
If they did, and you were aware of it, would you call them on it?
Or yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
No, I wouldn't call them on it. I mean, if people go to the bathroom during a show, sometimes you might make a joke out of it. But no, I wouldn't call anyone for walking out. I mean, if it's, you know, it happens.
Howie Mandel used to do that, his show in the round, like years ago, like when he still had hair. He would do that thing with the surgeon's glove. He'd put it over his face until he couldn't do it anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a woman, I think it was an HBO special, where she got up to go to the bathroom, and while she was gone, he had everyone switch seats in the arena. I mean, people were switching entire
rows and
people
stuff.
Were in the back, went to the front, people were flip-flopping, and he riddled her for 7 minutes. You know, well, that's what happens when you know.
Yeah, that I get. I've seen that.
It takes stones to do
that. If someone just left because they didn't like my comedy, I'm certainly not going to heckle them on the way out. I don't want to be heckled. I'm not going to heckle them. If they yell something at me as they leave, then it's on.
Chris Davis tweeting in, I took my two-year-old to an Easter egg hunt at church. He didn't want it. He wanted food trucks instead. My two youngest, they were ready for the egg hunt after church yesterday.
So do you make it easy on them? Because, like, I was telling Nick yesterday, I went to a Chick-fil-A and they had an Easter egg hunt. And all they did was just lay the eggs out in the open. And then these kids waited in line. And then they would be like, next. And the kid would get a basket and go and pick up two eggs and come back. That's not an Easter egg hunt.
No.
That's just lazy-ass parenting.
The nature of our yard and we're in the house that we're renting right now, there's not too much. There's not a lot of spaces you can. I mean, so I'll
throw them over the fence.
I'll put them in the hedge, behind the shed, behind the garage. I mean, they have to. It's
like, how difficult do you want it to be, Barry?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a hunt if they can find them.
They're not digging for them.
It's not a hunt if they can find them. You got to throw some over the fence. I'll just kick a few. Just throw one up in the air and just kick one.
Well,
see how far it goes.
I think the days of hunting, as in like in the Elmer Fudd sense, where you're out actively looking.
Yeah, it's a hunt.
What I should have done was
an Easter egg find.
I should have built them a deer lease in the yard and just rolled the eggs to them. Because that's really, isn't that what hunting is now? Don't people wait on the game to come to them?
That's kind of true.
And then sneak up, yeah.
But I think you should have just thrown some in the neighbor's yard. You should have gave them a radius. Look, you can go four houses left or right down the street, two houses behind us on both sides.
Right.
Yeah, and then the houses in front of us, the three in front of us. It could be anywhere in that area.
At this point, it's the six-year-old girl and the three-year-old boy. They are just fascinated with the fact that it even happened.
Make them work. Make them earn it.
No, because that means I got to work in putting it all
out. Are you hiding real eggs or plastic eggs with stuff in them?
Plastic with stuff in them. Who hides real eggs out there?
White people.
Oh, no. I did say yesterday, I said, wouldn't it be funny, though?
The most white thing you could do is just to dye eggs and then hide them and then eat them.
Yeah. If someone, filled it with, a raw egg.
Oh, nice. Just
picks up plastic
don't even
egg,
boil them.
Cracks it open, think there's M&Ms in it, and a friggin' egg yolk comes out all over.
That would be great.
That'd be disgusting.
That would be pretty good.
Hey, that's high in protein. Don't waste that.
Yeah. You eat
Rocky
that right now.
Would have eaten it.
You want to play football, you start eating those things right now. So what do you put in the eggs? You put
there was a mixture
pennies?
Of stuff. No, gosh.
You don't put a penny in there?
No. I think some had M&Ms, some had jelly beans, or some sweet tarts in some of them.
Like, do you open so you just put two jelly beans, or is it a small pack of jelly beans? Or do you
just individual. I'll put four or five of them in there.
Ugh, so you put your hands
on
them?
I handle them, absolutely.
Oh, God, that's
so gross.
I lick
them all to taste
them. It's so disgusting. See, now what I would do is I would put pennies. I would put notes. Hey, you need to get your grades up. I would put wadded up floss.
I will say, though.
Sorry you didn't get any candy, but it's for your teeth. It's own good. Here's some floss.
This church we went to, they had two different. They had one egg hunt for the pre-K and another one for elementary school. And the pre-K kids. It was my youngest and six other little boys are all lined up. I mean, there was probably 20 kids total, but these three all lined up on the line. They're leaning forward like there was a race. Unfortunately, my kid bowed another kid running past him and knocked him down.
So he got disqualified?
No, he kept going.
Good for him.
Yeah, there was none of that. There was no overarching of authority. Ruling what was and wasn't appropriate. Now, he did totally bow a kid, but the kid had a rat tail, so he kind of had it coming. But when it was over, it was all good, man. It was all good. It was a good day. You go over to Nora's place or your in-laws for Easter?
I did the show, and then I left and went to Nora's mom's for a while.
Sounds fun.
And then went to see my sister and mom and my sister's kids. Took them Easter baskets.
Nice.
Yeah.
Including the one that you don't like?
Huh?
I'm just joking. Your in-laws' kids, you love all of them, right?
No.
Isn't there one that you don't like?
Yeah. Yeah, the boy. That's the only one. Nora made Easter baskets for my sister's kids.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so she had candy in them, so I took all that out, and I put in packs of floss, toothbrushes.
And cumin.
It's a book of Bible verses, and that's pretty much it. A book on how to save money, and then that's what I gave the 3-year-old.
Nice,
yeah, because you know what?
Life skills.
It's never too soon to start.
Easter is about life skills.
It is. It
and
really
safety.
Is. Yeah, and safety.
And safety,
which is also what the show is about. safety and hose.
There you go.
I think that's the thing.
There were four NBA games yesterday, gentlemen.
What?
And I can be brutally truthful and say I think I saw 4 minutes of Boston-Chicago. And that was it. I wasn't riveted by any of these matchups. I get it. We're in Houston. Does anything?
Wait, you didn't watch the Rocket game?
I didn't. Here's the thing. I get Russell Westbrook, and he's probably going to win the MVP. Are you either of you even concerned about this series at all?
No. As far as who's going to win?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like if you didn't watch it, you're really not going to miss anything?
Yeah, you're missing something.
I think I feel confident in the pick. I do think it's a legitimate concern to face the Thunder because I think the Thunder is going to come back strong.
They got one guy. They can't shoot.
What you're missing is you're missing a matchup between the top two MVP candidates in the NBA. That's what you're missing.
K-Rock, come on. You're not.
Did you just call me K-Rock?
Most subgenres of NBA teams.
No, you missed Pat Bev going off. You missed Pat
go
Bev
off for
nearly
what?
Getting knocked out.
What did he go off? What did he go off for?
21 points?
Yeah.
Man, I missed that.
Don't be a smartass. This is serious Rockets business. it was a good game. I mean, it was if you're a Rockets fan,
118-87 looks like a barn burner.
Here's the thing. You're a Baltimore honk.
We don't have NBA in Baltimore.
Yeah, I know, which is exactly why you hate the NBA. But if you're a Rockets fan, which I am, then that was a fun game to watch last night.
100%. I mean, I thought it was a great game, so I enjoyed
it. No. But the point is it's fun because your team is destroying another team by, what was it, 31?
Well, the first half was pretty close. I mean, the first half had you watching the entire time. I mean, every play, you can feel the crowd watching it. It wasn't until like the third quarter where they really started picking things up.
Yeah.
Would you prefer it be that way? Or and I know you definitely are a big NBA fan. I don't know if Barry is like all 30 teams, you know, down for the count. Would you rather see a game like that, or would you rather see, you know, 114-113 matchup like that?
I mean, I probably rather down the line, like if they start killing them early, like in the third quarter, then yeah, I would want to see a close game at the end. You know what I mean? But like for the most part, I mean, if they're doing pretty good in the first two or three quarters, and then they take it away, I'm okay with that too.
Okay,
it was never out of reach until about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Okay,
the Rockets outscored them 29-13 in the fourth quarter. Mm. Yeah, and that's really, I mean, that it wasn't.
It was in reach, but you didn't never felt like it was in doubt, though.
No, you never felt like the Thunder were going to come back and win the game. And I even made the point on Twitter with about 5 minutes left that the Rockets could build about a 20-25-point lead with that 5 minutes left.
Right.
The Thunder weren't coming back from that. But until that point, until we got to about 5 minutes left, you always felt like this Rockets defense is so bad at times and in spurts. And they've done it against Oklahoma in the regular season where they've given up big leads and let the Thunder back in games and made it close. So it was never – I never felt comfortable as a Rocks fan, like, oh, yeah, this one's over in the third.
And there's some dramatic moments, too. I mean, you had the big pick by Adams that just leveled Patrick Beverley.
Which, mm-hmm. I was going to ask you guys, I know you didn't see a shock, but did you think that was dirty?
I don't think it was dirty. It was slightly – it was a moving screen,
I heard,
probably, but I don't know if it was dirty.
And I know what you're talking about because I did
see it. I thought
it
was dirty. Oh, and yeah.
I heard – the only people who I saw that said they thought it was dirty – you know, we're Rockets fans.
Mm-hmm.
What the main complaint that I saw was that it was a moving screen.
Right.
But that was the issue.
And that's why you might get that. You might perceive that to be him sending a message to, because Beverly was pestering everybody. He didn't care.
Well, Beverly was being Pat Beverly.
He was being Pat Beverly.
Which is why Rockets fans love him and the rest of the NBA hates him.
If he was a Utah Jazz.
Oh, God. I would hate him so much.
With the white hot heat of a million suns.
Without a doubt.
Would that be your hatred level?
He would be the most hated player in the NBA for me. If he didn't play for the Rockets. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that was my only point about this. In 7 or 8 years, if the Sixers ever make the playoffs, I'll watch them because it's your team, right? I get it. But my only point about all of this, and the reason I really don't tune in to round one, is because there's not a scintillating matchup to me. I'm of the opinion that, and this is every sport, this is baseball, this is hockey, everything, everyone that doesn't do a one-and-done format like college football, like the Super Bowl, they need to be best of five every round until you get to the conference finals.
See, I actually might be open for round one going back to five games.
I think everything should be five until you get to the finals of the conference. That's baseball as well.
But I know they'll never do it because of money, obviously, and the TV dollars. But still, I still think I wouldn't mind round one going back to five games at all.
I remember when the Major League Baseball, I want to say at least 1980, when you only had AL and NLCS, they were best of five.
Yeah.
World Series was the only thing that was seven games.
I think you're missing out on some good games.
Am I?
Yeah, I do. I think you're missing out on some good basketball being played.
So if I was going to watch one game tonight and one game only, Cleveland, Indiana, or San Antonio, Memphis, which game am I watching?
Cleveland,
tonight?
Indiana, for sure.
Okay. I do Spurs or Memphis.
I knew you were going to say that, too.
Because they were competitive. Like, in the first game, because I think Cleveland's still going to take that Pacers game. I know it was close in the first game, but Memphis does real good with keeping it competitive with the Spurs, too. It's just like the second half where they just start.
Dude, they won by how much? Like 30?
They killed them, yeah. But that wasn't until the second half.
They won by 30. The Cavs beat the Pacers by one, and it was because the Pacers couldn't sink a buzzer beater. They had a chance to beat the Cavs. That, to me, that's the game to watch. Not a 30-point debacle.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, like I said, in the first half of that Memphis-Spurs game, it kept you interested, in my opinion. But the second half is when they took it away.
Right. Fair enough. 713-780-3776. Let's pay the bills. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
713-780-3776. Get after us on Twitter at Shock975, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. Does Usual Suspects have a Twitter
page? No, we don't.
It's probably best for everybody.
Yeah, we would
just
never.
One more thing.
I mean, yeah.
Or a Facebook page.
Yeah, if you want to follow the show, follow us individually.
How about MySpace?
No, but we do have a Friendster account.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Tinder so, face?
Heck that. Nope. Mm. I'm getting some feedback on quitting Diet Coke.
No kidding.
And someone said unsweetened iced tea.
Ugh.
That's, yeah.
Just drink dishwater.
Lemon water was another one.
Been there, done that. I see the point of it. I can do it in doses.
But I'm also, today, I'm going to start whitening my teeth. And what? These are things that I'm
using the old Pearl Drops, the old Pearl Drops tooth polish.
No, you remember that? It should be like, oh
yes. The 9-year-old me was like,
get you a chub, watching a commercial, be like, ooh, do that again, mama.
I cannot believe that they stopped doing those commercials.
Pearl Drops?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty erotic.
Imagine if they were on now.
She'd be like,
if they ran commercials for Pearl Drops, it would have to be on like on TNT at 1 a.m. Yeah.
Be pretty much porn nowadays. I don't want to do a lot of the lemon stuff because I've heard that it removes the enamel from your teeth. Like,
you don't have to swish it around, just drink
citrus
it.
Citrus fruits and stuff, the acids in it.
I'm not aware
of that. I heard that too. I drink a lot of lemon water. I'm a fan of it. So
yeah, so I don't want to do that because then I already kind of have sensitive teeth from whitening them a couple times. I don't want to continue that.
How many times did you whiten your teeth?
This will be the third time.
So it's like a temporary fix?
Well, I mean, it lasts for a year or two.
Oh, okay.
So this will be about every 2 years I whiten them. I do like a really good whitening just because I drink a lot of coffee and Diet Coke and it ruins them. And I don't want to be on stage and taking pictures with people after shows with funky ass yellow teeth. No. I spent too much money on braces to be walking around with yellow
ass
teeth.
Just mean mug them.
No.
That's all you get.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to have fun. Not mean. Yeah, exactly.
Do the old finger pistols.
Hey! Bow, bow. Somebody had a cool ass idea about hiding eggs for kids and adults. Mm-hmm. They hide eggs for the kids and small bottles of liquor for the adults. I would be down for that.
Would you?
I would totally be down for
that. Hey, we're 11 minutes away, by the way, from Trey's movie Monday Moments.
Nope.
What is this? Trey's Monday Movie Moments?
How many times has that feature been destroyed on the air?
I am literally the only person on the planet that can get it right.
I've destroyed it. Joel has destroyed it. And now Shock has.
Monday Movie Moments with Trey. It's not that hard.
What?
I mean, an imbecile could get it right. But wait a minute. Did I just
so far an imbecile is the only one who got it right?
Oh my god, you guys! You got me, you silly guys!
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that's coming up at 2:30. He's doing Brokeback Mountain, and
oh my goodness!
I'll just say that while the movie moment may not be a 10 out of 10, the rest of it is good. You're not going to want to miss it.
The DVD extra features.
Yeah. It's he just, let's put it this way, in typical Trey fashion, he just starts off like, now listen, I just want to point out that I'm not like this. Like, it's so good.
Now, getting back to your addiction to Diet Coke. Do you ever do? I can remember this when my dad was trying to quit smoking. He'd smoke half of it or take one drag and then put it out. You ever taken one sip of Diet Coke and just threw the rest out the window?
No, that's my wife though.
Really?
She'll be like, "I want a Diet Coke," and then she'll get one and drink about four sips and be like, "You want it?" I'm like, "Well, it's hot now." No, you let it sit there, nursing it like an alcoholic down to their last beer. No, I don't want it now. It's hot.
Do you think there are social aspects of your Diet Coke addiction?
I like my Diet Cokes like I like my wife's heart. Cold.
Cold and steely.
Yes.
Like one of the reasons that he couldn't quit smoking was that at work, everyone else smoked. Okay. And like, you know, whatever couple hours they'd all go outside and have a smoke break. You can't go out there and not smoke because they all have heaters hanging out of their mouth and you're smelling that nicotine goodness or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. So my mom always had the great idea of having him try and quit when we were on vacation.
Ooh.
Which is awesome when you're driving 19 hours from home to Tampa. Yeah.
With a grumpy dad in the car.
By day four, I'm asking him to eat them.
Please smoke something.
Dad, I will walk to the gas station and get you four packs of Camels.
Yeah.
Right now. Do you have those issues as well, you know, when you're at the comedy club and everyone else is having Diet Cokes?
No.
No. The smell of it, you're just like, oh.
You know, it doesn't have a smell, does it? I've never smelled Diet Coke.
It does. It does smell. I mean, I can tell. I could smell it and tell the difference between Coke and Diet Coke, for sure.
I just think it's gross. I think from a taste perspective. And
Well, you don't have to drink it.
You couldn't pay me to drink a Coke Zero. I know Raheel loves Coke Zero.
I think it tastes nastier than Diet.
Oh, it's gross. Swill. Honestly. It's swill.
Not really. I'll drink Crown and Diet.
How about Crystal Pepsi? Did you ever have that
one?
You
can go to hell for that
one. Disgustingness was out.
That's the worst.
Were you old enough to remember Crystal Pepsi, Nick? Yeah, they made Pepsi clear for a hot minute.
I had no idea.
Was there a clear Coke, too? Like, back in the day when everyone did everyone else's thing?
Right.
So then,
I don't know if there was a clear Coke.
So then Saturday Night Live came up with Crystal Gravy as a spoof, and it just looked like they were dumping out a breast implant all over Meatloaf. That's exactly. Yeah, so luckily everyone came back to their senses, and the age of Crystal Soda. Like, they never came up with, like, Dark Sprite.
Did they?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, Sprite and 7-Up never came up with
the
dark, you know, Sprite after dark or whatever you want to call it.
Sprite PM.
That would have been kind of cool if they made Sprite at Sprite PM. Yeah, if they had made, you know.
Midnight Sprite.
Midnight Sprite.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
7-Up, more like Midnight Up. What?
What? 12-Up. So luckily that never went that way.
Yeah. I never got into anything other than just drinking Dr. Pepper for the longest, and that's how I transitioned to the old Diet Coke.
Dr. Pepper
I never experimented with the
gateway
other drugs.
Drug.
Yeah, it is. It's a gateway drug.
I've actually heard that.
I've never experimented with the other stuff.
So I don't let my kids drink Dr. Pepper because I'm like, you know
Are
what?
You that kind of say-hole dad?
6 months, you will be on Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And then there's no turning back.
No sodas in the house? Are you that dad?
No, you know, we have ginger ale in the house. Here's the reason why. First of all, my oldest doesn't drink soda. He's very health-minded. He won't drink
ginger ale?
Yes. My second oldest has like a food coloring allergy.
Okay.
He can drink Sprite, but he doesn't like Sprite.
Right.
When people get sick in the house, and this goes back to when I was a kid, when you have a sore throat and you have a cold, ginger ale is always what they gave you because it's not as syrupy.
So you're the people keeping them in business because I had
no
idea.
I was like five different brands of it.
Who buys ginger ale is something that I always walked past the ginger
ale.
I
love ginger ale.
Thinking, who the hell is buying this in Canada Dry?
Except for Vernon's.
Like, who is buying that?
I will say, I don't buy ginger ale, but when I tried Canada Dry, I was like, this is not bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah, of the scale, I would say.
You're such a liar.
I like Schweppes.
I've had Canada Dry.
I like Schweppes more than Canada Dry. Vernon's I'm not hot on. Generic ginger ale is disgusting.
This is the whitest thing I've ever heard you do.
It is. It is white, though. It's a total white thing. I'm sorry.
Which baffles me with your household. This is literally the whitest thing on the planet.
My wife doesn't drink soda at all because she doesn't like carbonated drinks. So she doesn't drink soda at all.
Is she even human?
Yes.
She doesn't like carbonated drinks?
And my daughter is moving that way. She's not liking them either.
I'm glad I don't live in your house.
It is what it is.
Ugh.
Would you like a nice ginger ale?
No, I'd like a Diet Coke,
We've
please.
Had this 2-liter bottle since Thanksgiving. I'm sure it still has bubbles in it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
When we come back, Barry.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
It's Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
Trey's Movie Monday Moments.
That is not it at all.
Monday Moments at the Movies with Trey.
Nope.
After this break, it is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. No, I'm not. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That
tonight's gonna be a good, good night. ESPN 97.5.
Let's all go to the movie.
Take two. Mark.
And action.
The usual suspects present Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
King Kong ain't got sh** on me.
Funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you?
Then the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir!
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch?
Are we supposed to talk or do you just go into the bit from there? How does this work?
Well, that's usually something you would ask off air.
I don't listen to a lot of talk radio. How does this work?
Welcome back to the show. It's the
welcome back, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. And I will try this again. Monday Movie Moments.
There you go.
With three.
With Trey.
Trey.
Now, today's Monday Movie Moment is Trey reenacting a scene from Brokeback Mountain. Yes, that scene. The I can't quit you scene. And it's we usually have some bloopers that we do at the end or whatever, but those are all mixed in together. So, without further ado, here is Trey reenacting Brokeback Mountain.
What? I'm not that way. I may be reading this line, but I'm not that way.
We're not even recording yet.
Just so everybody knows, I'm not that way.
Oh, God. So you saw he was angry.
Yeah, tell you what.
You got to be gay and angry.
Oh, damn. It's like, I was saving that. It's going to be gay and angry tomorrow.
Well, now you have to do it for this bit, okay?
I'm going to not have enough gay and angry in me tomorrow, and it's going to be a terrible day.
All right, let's do this. This is the last one, and I'm going home. So, right. Gay, angry Trey. Let him out.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta be gay, you gotta be angry, and you gotta be country.
Okay.
But don't hold back, but it needs to be, like, equal parts.
Can I say at the end, just so everybody knows, I'm not that way?
No.
Damn it. Just, now everybody thinks I'm gonna be gay and angry all the time.
They'll probably think you're more country than anything. But stay in character. Ready?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Tell you what. We could have had a good laugh together. F***ing real good laugh. Had us a place of our own. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we gonna do now? Oh, what we got now is Brokeback Mountain. Everything's built on that. That's all we got. Boy, f***ing all. So I hope you know that. If you never knew the rest, you count the damn few times we've been together. And nearly 20 years, you measure it, the short f***ing leash you keep me on. And then you ask me about Mexico and tell me you kill me for needing something I don't hardly ever get. You know, you have no idea how bad it gets. I'm not you. I can't make it on a couple high altitude f***s once, twice a year. You are too much for me, Ennis. You son of a horse, son bitch. I wish I knew how to quit you. Just so everybody knows, I'm not that way.
Okay, so here's your homework. You have to, over the weekend, you have to come with three movies.
I can find three movies. Like, I can't snap. Like that. I have dyslexia.
Damn it, Trey. Three movies. No, you're using the wrong fingers. Look, you... No, you gotta let that one go that's on the thumb. You're not, how the f*** do you not, why are you doing that? Trey, could you please record this? I'm gonna teach Trey how to snap.
No, I don't wanna, I don't wanna learn.
I'm gonna teach you how to snap.
I don't need to snap.
Damn it, look, you snap, you don't, leave these two out of it. No, what the f*** are you doing?
I have dyspnea.
Listen, pull this hand up, look. Now, do like this. Just these two. Leave these out of it. Now, what you want to... Like that. There you go.
Holy shit! That's how you do it?
Yeah, leave these out of it. Just This is the tragedy of this. Is I learned that Trey doesn't know how to snap. How are you going to be gay and you can't snap? Like, you have to have that skill set if you're going to be a gay cowboy.
Did you learn it early on?
Yeah, we all do.
Is that like, watching your children learn to walk?
It's science. You're born like that. You're born snapping, okay?
My goodness.
Yeah. That was Trey's gay, angry cowboy doing Brokeback Mountain. The alarming thing about that is that he didn't know how to snap. And what he would do, if you'll play along at home with me, is he would make the motion for snapping, right? So he would put his middle finger and his thumb together. So everyone do that at home. I want you to put your middle finger and thumb together like you're going to snap. Now, what Trey would do is, you see that you have your ring finger and your pinky are free? He would form them together in a tight bond and then try to rub them against his middle finger to make the snapping sound. Who snaps like that? That's the weirdest way to snap I've ever seen. If you're taking your ring finger and rubbing it against the middle finger for snapping. That's literally when I knew that he wasn't dealing with a full deck. That's the weirdest thing. So I had to teach him how to snap.
And that was a struggle. Was it a success? Did he end up snapping by the end of the conversation?
Well, you heard at the end, he goes, oh my God, like what?
He hasn't stopped since, frankly.
Yeah, he's just been walking around two snaps in a circle everywhere.
Like he's in West Side Story or
gay
something.
Gay cowboy.
He just walked in here and he wanted me to make sure to tell everybody.
He's not like that.
He's not yeah. Gay. Yeah. You know what? It doesn't matter. Trey, we know you're gay and it's fine. This was your time to come out. This was your moment. This is finally, you can let it out. You could be free, my friend. Be free with it. So
you got producer Tyler cracking up right now.
I get upset when I'm at the supermarket and I'm like in the U-scan lane and I can always tell when someone walks up to it and then they start staring at it. I'm like, damn, it's amateur hour.
Yeah.
Four U-scan lanes, three people doing 5 weeks worth of groceries. The fourth person has never used this machine. And I'm like, this has been around for a while.
Yeah.
How do you not know? This beats all of that.
Does it?
Snapping fingers.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to snap. He didn't. He blamed the fact that he couldn't tell his left from his right on dyslexia. I was like, I had to explain to him, no, Trey, that means
that hand makes an L when you go that way.
Yeah, and he said it was dyslexia. I said, no, that just means you get letters jumbled up in words while you're reading. It has nothing to do with knowing your left from your right. This is what I deal with when
basic
I make
life
these.
Skills.
You guys don't. This is the sacrifice that I make for the people out there. I have to go into a studio with this idiot and talk to him.
Hey, that's my buddy Kirsten.
It's
Spike
so
over
hard
there in the production studio. What's up, girl?
It's a labor of love, though. Yeah, somebody said gangry. That's a new phrase.
Gangry. Gangry. And Southern?
Huh?
And you made him, he had to be country as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I made him. Tracy Cowley said I could just see Trey looking at AJ going, I can't quit you. Yeah.
What would AJ's answer be to that?
I don't know. Probably get away from me, weirdo.
Sports. Sports to you. Hey now.
Sports to you, my friend.
Hey now.
Hey now, sports!
Hardly possible.
Yeah, could be. I liked it. I thought Trey did a good job.
And that is Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
Hey, you got it right. Good job to you too, sir.
Let's take a break.
All right.
A well-deserved break. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And we got Team Ginger Ale chipping in. A lot of people here. Dr. Tingles, apparently a good friend of yours, loves the ginger ale. No, he doesn't. He called to let us know Clear Pepsi and Surge have resurfaced. So,
okay,
that's evil at work.
Okay.
That's a comment section of any Yahoo article.
What?
Coming to life. Gabriel says Canada Dry is delicious, a lot more appetizing than more traditional ginger ale. What would untraditional ginger ale be?
I don't know.
I'll share this with you.
Uh-oh.
The single best ginger ale I ever had, seeing as we're talking about ginger ale.
Yeah.
I was over at the Melting Pot on Westheimer, and it's something they don't keep behind the bar, but the bartender made it from scratch. So I don't know what sorcery goes into making ginger ale, but there was like actual ginger in it, like flecks of ginger. It was like Goldschlager, only it was ginger ale. It was delicious.
The only reason why ginger ale was tolerable to me is because it was like Canada Dry. It's carbonated. It's not.
It's just a matter of sophistication that most people clearly don't have.
Someone tweeted and said, Longhorn Dimitri said, Canada Dry goes great with vodka. I think you can pretty much drink anything with vodka. Like, you could drink.
I've never had vodka and ginger before. I've done it with whiskey. I like a Maker's Mark or Jack Daniels or something.
With ginger ale?
Absolutely.
I thought I was weird for doing it with Diet Coke.
You are.
Ginger ale and whiskey?
You are weird, sir.
What kind of Brokeback Mountain cocktail are you making?
Ike says, this is going back to the first hour.
Do you put an umbrella in it?
Ike says
and
that
a squirt of lime?
No lime. I don't fruit my drinks.
Hell.
What's wrong with you?
You ginger ale them.
Ginger ale's delicious.
Isn't ginger a fruit?
Our boy Ike, who listens to us on Sunday, yes. Does he normally chip in during the Usual Suspect show?
Not really.
I don't think he listens much during the week.
He says the only thing he likes about hip-hop is trap music. That'd be like saying you hate the NFL except for the Browns.
That's a great analogy.
You hate the NBA except for the night of the draft lottery. Like, you don't watch anything else.
You watch the lottery?
The draft lottery.
Yes. The actual picking of the balls.
And not even, like, the last four teams. You just want to know who the 7, 8, 9, and 10 teams are in the lottery.
That'd be pretty lame.
That's it's like being the worst thing of the best thing.
Yeah.
I hate baseball except for when the pitcher goes to the rosin bag.
I don't like the Olympics except for curling.
Except for the human interest stories that NBC does on all the athletes.
No. Yeah, you got me on that one. That's even worse than curling.
Yes. So there's that.
Did you hear about it was very sad, the Isaiah Thomas story.
Yeah.
Him finding out about his sister dying. It was a car crash, right?
Yeah, it was a car wreck.
It was a single car accident, yes.
Man.
I hadn't heard that story, though, about how he found out, no.
Well, I don't know how he found out either.
I'm assuming he wasn't in the same city. That's what I was saying earlier.
Like, yeah.
I mean, just to know that you're that far away. Because I think the car crash happened in their hometown in Washington.
I don't know that I would be able to play. Would you guys be able to play? Would you be able to do radio?
Was it 2 days apart, 1 day apart? How far apart was this?
I want to say two days. 1 day at the most. Between the game and the car crash, you mean? Between when the Celtics played?
Yeah, between his daughter passing away and...
I'm assuming 24 hours? I'm not sure.
You know what? I mean, you can't really speak for anyone else. I would like to think I could. And throughout sports history, there are some amazing stories. I never use the word amazing, but I am amazed when, you know, like the night of the Favre thing after his dad had passed. People in situations where there's a tragedy they're trying to put out of their mind. I think Shaquille O'Neal said on the court is their sanctuary. It's where you can kind of get away from stuff like this. In Major League Baseball, the history of guys who have taken the field when they're sick or had a family member die, they'll go out and throw a no-hitter. They'll hit four home runs. I mean, Frank Robinson hit two grand slams in a game when he was on 2 days of no sleep because his kid had the flu. That's a story I've always heard about that. People are capable of amazing things under weird circumstances, but I don't know that I could have gone out and done that.
If my sister had passed in a car, I don't know that I would be functioning. You know what I mean? Like, I would just be devastated.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I admire... to me, I admire so much his ability to be able to go out there. And not only that, he put up with 33?
Yeah, he had the game high.
Yeah.
They lost, but he had the game high.
It shows you sometimes, even, you know, and I think even Kenny Smith said it best, is sometimes we put these athletes on a pedestal and they think that they're superhuman. That's a family member. I mean, and you're still out there and you're able to go out there and do your job. Because a lot of us, if you lost a family member, a sister or whatever,
I don't know if I could.
Would you be coming in and producing a radio show the next day?
But then
I wouldn't be here. I couldn't do my job.
But then there was a major league player who just took off for paternity leave, which is always an argument. You know, kids are going to be born, you'll have them for the rest of their life. There's people, I'm sure, are comparing the two. You know, you'll take a day off to away from your team because your son is born. He's able to play through. You know, that would be the argument for the baseball player taking time off. Well, this guy went out and played a playoff game. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a different mindset. It's not like going to a 9-to-5 job where, you know, you have leave and you're not missing anything. Someone else will pick up your slack. If you're a professional athlete, especially a starter for a team in the playoffs, top four in the MVP race, arguably,
yeah,
different mindset. I'm sure on some level he wasn't feeling it. I think on another level he's feeling he needed to do it. And I think once they throw that ball up for 48 game minutes,
yeah,
2 hours where you can kind of focus on other stuff.
It's funny you mentioned that, though, because Trevor Ariza had a death in the family. Granted, it was late in the season, and the right. Rockets had sealed up the third seed. So it was obviously much easier for him to miss that time. But he took a day, you know?
Yeah.
He took a couple days, probably. I mean, he took a game. He missed one game, but he took a couple days.
Game one of a playoff series, however.
Much different.
Much different.
Is it, though? I mean, you're talking life and death. This is sports.
No, I get what you're saying.
You're talking family.
I think that mindset is...
If he would have taken that day off, I wouldn't have thought twice.
I would hope most people wouldn't have thought twice.
If you do, you're an a-hole.
You would have gone to hell.
I bet you he put the pressure on himself because he is basically carrying that offense. Like, it's him and everybody else on that team in terms of offense.
If he had taken off, I guarantee you those morons at WEII or whatever that is up in Boston, they would have been crucifying him up there. Am I right? Is
you
that
think?
The right solution? Of course. Because those people always exist who think that whatever reason the game is the most important thing, or you're getting paid millions of dollars, you should be there. You're letting your teammates down. Some MVP finalist you are. But, yeah, those people absolutely exist.
Yeah, I've heard on-air hosts talk about, like, when their wives are pregnant, for them not to miss the game, they should still play the game despite their wives giving birth. It's like, what's the big deal? Especially if it's not their first child, they should definitely not miss the game. I'm like, really?
WEEI, I'm sorry. I quoted the wrong radio station. Yeah, that's the sports talk station where they're always misogynist and talking down women and racist and everything else, I'm sure. But, yeah, I mean, different thing. Again, your example, Ariza taking off is essentially a meaningless game.
Yep.
If it had been game 82 and you're playing for your playoff life and you're playing the team you're tied with for that eighth slot, it might be a little different.
No.
I'm just saying, for him,
in a playoff game, too, it might be a little different, too, because the Rockets have more depth.
You're missing.
There's no
game. I'm saying his mindset might be, this is unnecessary. You know, I can take 3 hours out and get back with the family. That's the difference between that and game 75, when you know you're locked into the three slot and you're not moving.
I don't know.
I'm not saying I could.
There's no way. I couldn't, especially a sister. Like, it's different if there's a cousin that I don't know or something like that. But if one of my sisters passed away in a wreck and they're like, hey, this is the biggest show of the year. This is Super Bowl Sunday. You need to do this job. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, I probably would not show up at all. Course, I probably might forget
different.
To tell you.
Yeah, it's a bit different. You know, we have to come on and talk and he, yeah. But I mean, still, like, could you imagine, you know, like I was even thinking about it, watching him shoot free throws. I'm thinking, I wonder if he's really thinking about form, free throws, or anything, or is he just thinking, you know, I should have done this, I should have done that? Like, what is he thinking? Because at the free throw line, you know, there's that calmness, there's that isolation. It's, I wonder if he's even thinking about it. But that's what I was thinking. I thought, man, that's got to be tough, no matter what.
Well, there's another layer too. I mean, it's one thing, you know, if your father passes away and like he's in his late 80s, 90s, he's been battling whatever. This is his younger sister,
right?
Yeah. And it's boom.
Yep.
Out of nowhere.
See, I want to say when Shaq's grandma passed away, he missed some time, but when he made his return, it was literally in the middle of it was like halftime in the middle of
the
game.
He showed up. Yeah.
He showed up like right after halftime finished.
It's tough.
Yeah. Very sad. A couple of people were saying Jameson and ginger beer. Don't know that. Smitty said ginger ale and Crown is nice.
It is.
Nope. Not ruining my
I'd
Crown.
I prefer Coke or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I'll stick with Crown and Diet. Thank you very much. That's fine. Man drinks it.
With your pinky out, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, when we were saying that we hated things, I hate football except for the Browns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lenny said, I hate talk radio except the usual suspects. Jerk.
I'm sorry.
And Steve said, I hate the Olympics except for Bob Costas' pink eye segments.
That's the best. I used to have that picture on my Instagram.
Yeah. His pink eye?
Oh, my goodness. I remember watching that. I think he went two nights too long.
Someone farted on Bob's pillow. That's all we know.
Someone at Wayne Manor.
Which athlete farted on Bob's pillow?
Let's take a break. Yeah. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty of show to go. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.